Today, destroying tent cities doesn't solve the housing problem. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, from the latest posts covering finance and property news. Migration to Australia remains too high and has directly and indirectly caused a massive rise in homelessness. Tent cities have sprung up, and some councils are now trying to clear them by moving homeless people on. So today, we'll look at what caused the problem and what this means for the homeless. We have to start with the sky-high migration. The ABS recently reported that for the year ended 30th of June, net overseas migration was 446,000 in the year 23-24, down from 536,000 a year earlier, and that migrant arrivals decreased 10% to 667,000 from 739,000 arrivals a year earlier, with the largest group of migrant arrivals being temporary students, with 207,000 people. Migrant departures increased 8% to 221,000 from 204,000 departures a year earlier. And overall, the population grew in the year ended 30th of June 2024 by 2.1%, or 552,000 people. Now, there's a lot of misinformation flying around about these numbers. One classic is from Alan Gamlin from the ANU, who recently claimed that by March 2024, net overseas migration added 31,000 fewer people to the population than it would have if migration had stayed at 2019 levels. Basically, net overseas migration added 168,000 fewer people to Australia's population between 2019 and 24 than if the net overseas migration had followed the long-term trends from 2013 to 2019. What's clear is that Australia has experienced less migration since the onset of the pandemic, not more. Well, this echoes claims from Albo quite recently that high migration is just catch-up, but the data tells a very different story. If you use data from the ABS, between the third quarter of 2013 and the third quarter of 2019, Australia's annual net overseas migration averaged 223,200. But between the third quarter of 2019 and the third quarter of 2024, Australia's net overseas migration averaged 272,620. The Albanese government's first budget, released in October 2022, forecast net overseas migration of 470,000 over the first two financial years. That's 2022-23 and 23-24. The federal budget from May forecast net overseas migration of 260,000 for this financial year. That's 24-25. And Wednesday's mid-year economic and fiscal update, the MIEFA, upgraded the net migration forecast for 24-25 by 80,000 people to 340,000. Every single budget and MIEFA released by Labour since it was elected has badly underestimated Australia's net overseas migration. In the year 22-23, it began at 235,000, rose to 400,000, and ended up at 535,500. In the year 23-24, it began at 215,000, rose to 395,000, and ended up at 446,000. And in 24-25, it began at 260,000 and was revised to 340,000. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers' explanation of the latest migration blowout was, well, a bad joke. People are just staying for longer. I haven't seen a more granular sense than that, Chalmers claimed. While the number of new arrivals is declining in line with expectations at budget, departures were lower than expected in 23 and 24. Departures are expected to pick up over 24-25, albeit at a slower rate than anticipated at the budget. Well, really, is that the best you can do? Although I do agree that more people are looking to leave Australia at the moment. I see that in a number of my one-to-one conversations. I wonder why. Annual migrant departures were 221,200 in the year to June 24 versus 309,000 in the year to June 2019, so down by 87,800. Annual migrant arrivals were 666,900 in the year to June 2024 versus 544,400 in the year to June 2019, so up by 116,500. Thus, the blowout in net migration is driven primarily by, guess what, excessive arrivals. Regardless, the fact that migrants are refusing to leave is not a legitimate excuse, since it has been driven up by the blowout in bridging visas, including fake students claiming asylum. Migrants are manipulating the system to prolong their stay in Australia, and Labor has refused to take the necessary action to fix that problem. In short, the Albanese government has lost control of immigration and has delivered the housing crisis that we're in the middle of. Now, CBA analysis shows that Australia's population growth has exceeded the pre-pandemic trend. Population growth will continue to grow faster than the trend as net overseas migration remains historically high, they say. The Australian population has now returned to its long-term trend growth, meaning that the loss of population growth from the closing of the borders has been fully recovered. CBA note, indeed, around 30,000 more people call Australia home than the trend would have suggested. So that's against the ANU claim. It is likely the population will move further above the trend in coming quarters until net overseas migration numbers return to its pre-pandemic trend, they say. As a result, the demand for somewhere to live is running hot, as represented in the rental crisis, as rents spiral out of the range of many people, and by the way, help to keep inflation up, causing the RBA to hold interest rates higher for longer and putting more pressure on the rest of the economy and on households. And of course, building approvals are way down as the Albanese government's target of 1.2 million homes over 5 years continues to flounder. Master Builders Australia Chief Executive Dayenta Wan said to the AFR recently that even though some of the issues around building materials inflation are starting to abate, we're still seeing the flow-on effect from the pandemic. Unfortunately, this continues to ripple through the industry. And separately, she warned on 4BC that Australia would miss its 1.2 million housing targets by more than 400,000 homes. The HIA, the Housing Industry Association, released data on home sales recently and showed that they declined in November to the lowest level since January 2024. Now, Justin Faber at Antipedian Macro shows that new home sales have retraced following the pull forward to beat changes in the National Construction Code. And while new home sales in the 12 months to November were 8.2% higher than the previous year, they remain at an historically low level overall. And the same can be said for Australian dwelling approvals, which rebounded moderately to 168,166 for the year ended October 2024, but they were a hefty 30% or 78,824 below the Albanese government's yearly target of 240,000 homes. The home building industry, of course, remains severely supply constrained. Construction costs have soared by around 40% since the beginning of the pandemic. And while cost inflation has eased significantly, output costs remain above pre-pandemic norms. The vast number of insolvencies affecting the sector have also eroded supply capacity further. And to cap it all, very few of those imported migrants want to or can work in construction. But there are profound consequences of all these bad policies, and some people are falling off the housing perch altogether. As The Guardian reported recently, Musgrove Park in Brisbane's West End has been a residence of last resort since white settlement and a gathering and communal place long before that. But with the Brisbane of the past still cheaper than Sydney or Melbourne, fewer people needed it then, but things have changed. With the rate of development approvals by council halving in the last 40 years, Brisbane has gone from among the cheapest to the second most expensive city in the country. According to a Queensland Council of Social Services analysis, around 10,000 people were homeless on census night back in 2021 in southeast Queensland. Most of them lived in cars or on the couch of a friend, or hundreds lived on the street. But at the last count, there were 47,820 Queenslanders on the state's social housing waiting list. The average wait for housing is 2.5 years. Rising homelessness has become even more visible over the last couple of years when tents started springing up in parks all over town. One reason why they appeared was because Paul Slater, the president of the Northwest Community Group, donated them to homeless people in the area. But now councils have responded by treating the problem as a security issue, Brisbane City Council turned off the power and barbecues at Musgrove in October, citing an escalation of violence and antisocial behaviour in those encampments. It was perceived by many as an attempt to make the place inhospitable. Moreton Bay Council recently banned homeless people from keeping pets or sleeping in vans. And ironically, the barbecues were back a few weeks later after people brought in gas bottles and created a much bigger risk. Aid services last week cleared homeless people in Orley Park, and it was not the first. Some people move on. In fact, ordinary tents are not only seized when they're abandoned, Slater says, but mass clearances have happened in the past and the pressure is escalating. It's also not unusual for people's belongings to be seized and then destroyed. The police pink shirts from state housing authorities and council staff who last week arrived in heavy rain, they had umbrellas, the homeless people who did not have even access to a shower were ordered out of their tents. The entire park was cleared. The occupants of tents were issued with a move-on directive. Slater suspects complaints by wealthy neighbours prompted the council action. The council literally threw out a tent that I'd given that they'd put up the day before, he said. I've given them a brand new tent. The council threw it in the garbage. According to a report produced for QCOS and other services this year, a large part of council homelessness referral team's work is now responding to requests from the public to enforce move-on orders. The hardest part, I think, of our job is that we get incoming correspondence from residents that are an equal part, get rid of the homeless, an equal part, can you do more for the homeless? The report quotes one council employer saying, the council doesn't care, Slater says. They'll pick up the whole tent and put it in the back of the truck. One academic described the decision by a homeless person to be seen as a political act. They're demonstrating their kind of deprivation through living in a tent in a public realm. And I'm glad that it pisses people off. Cameron Parcell, a social scientist professor at the University of Queensland, says, we should be pissed off, but rather than being pissed off by the people in the park, we should be pissed off about the lack of affordable housing. For all the concern about safety, several service providers say the crackdown risks undermining the group most at risk, homelessness people themselves. And there are still schools of thought about safety, by the way. Many trust in safety in numbers. Clearing a park forces people to adopt the other approach, staying out of sight. That doesn't always work. Many believe the crackdown is not about safety at all, but about visibility. Keeping homelessness people apart keeps them out of sight. Now, there's one important point about the Guardian article, and that is that there is no reference at all to the migration problem and how that caused the issue in the first place. But my point is that homelessness could be eased if migration was pulled significantly lower, allowing time to catch up on building and to get people into homes. But no, federal government keeps the tap open and councils are moving homeless people on from pillar to post. This simply doesn't solve the problem, and I think the social consequences ahead will be enormous. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.